The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
There's a pretty good chance. Well, I think it's inevitable at this point. But I'll probably be going somewhere tomorrow where I'll be getting 3 square meals a day. And that's okay. I'm okay with that. And I want you to know that I'm not afraid. I'll probably get some sleep, finally. Just please, stay peaceful. And please take care of each other. And know that this too shall pass.
You accept that this is an illegal protest?
It's not an illegal protest. It's in our Charter of Rights and Freedoms.
Sorry, guys.
And so, what's your response then if you do get arrested, if you're the next person that police do arrest?
I'd love it if you'd speak louder.
She wants to know what my response would be if I get arrested.
What's the response? Hold the line!
Hold the line.
Okay. Let's ask you back up, please. Should you assess it? Back up, please. Just back up. Thank you.
Me too.
And me.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know you're going on social media, right?
Yep, I got you.
See you later, guys.
Have a good night. Enjoy yourself.
We'll see you soon tomorrow.
Hold the line.
Don't worry, we'll make the calls, Chris.
Call my wife.
Yeah. We'll make the calls.
Put this on social media right away.
Yeah.
Comrade Trudeau's crackdown has begun. It didn't take long. He invoked the Emergencies Act on Monday, and here we are Friday, and all the armed policemen taking to the streets. And you've got tweets coming out from the Ottawa Police Department saying that they've arrested 15 people. They've removed 4 vehicles. They're keeping score like it's an Olympics competition. It's just like January 6th. Just like the DOJ sending out that end of the year report just a couple months ago. Remember this? Yeah, we've arrested 700 people. Can you believe it? We're so excited. You never heard any of this in the summer of 2020. Never did we have a running score of how many of the thugs that burned down cities like Minneapolis were arrested and sent to jail. But this time, I mean, it's different. Here are these peaceful protesters. There is no getting around that. Peaceful protesters shoveling snow, jumping in bouncy castles, getting in snowball fights, playing hockey in the street, protesting, insisting that the mandates be lifted even as, and listen to this, even as mandates are being lifted all over the world. Jordan, Israel, Denmark, the UK, and on it goes. But Justin Trudeau, for his part, he won't even talk to these protesters. He'll kneel with BLM. But he won't talk to these protesters. Instead, he sends in the troops. It's an emergency, after all. And so we've got to arrest them. And that has begun. Started last night, and it continues this morning. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. As you know, you can get to our live stream, our live audio stream, through CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that platform. But to get to the video stream so that you can see all the clips and see our beautiful studio here in Edmond, Oklahoma, to get to that stream, you have to go to our website. We offer it exclusively at thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live, and you can get to the live stream page, and you can also get to the videos that are posted after the fact, should you like to listen or view on demand. There was a tweet. You cannot make this up. It comes from the Foreign Policy Canada website or Twitter page. And they tweeted out yesterday, Canada condemns Cuba's harsh sentencing following the July 2021 protests. Canada strongly advocates for freedom of expression and the right to peaceful assembly free from intimidation. As I say, you cannot make this up. This is Canada preaching to the rest of the world, preaching to Cuba, saying, listen, we don't like the way you cracked down on these protesters from last year. I'm not sure what the protest was about. But the fact that Canada at this time, at this moment, would be lecturing other nations. Now, don't crack down on those protesters. They're protesting peacefully. And meanwhile, look at what's going on in Ottawa. You can't, I mean, the comedy writes itself here. This is like the Babylon Bee. It says, we stand with the people of Cuba in their aspiration for democracy, says Canada, which suspended its democracy this week. There's martial law in Canada. There's a supreme ruler, a dictator in Canada. His name is Justin Trudeau. Now, he's being boxed in. But he's going to act in desperation, as we keep saying. These communists, they're going to fight to the bitter end. Here, the Speaker of the House suspending all activity. They can't even, the Parliament can't even go in there and debate this Emergencies Act. They can't go in there. I guess it's too dangerous. So they were told early this morning, stay home, stay home. Ottawa authorities, they're putting up barriers around Parliament. It's so dangerous. 100 checkpoints throughout the city. Is this a Canadian city? Or is this a city somewhere in the third world? Is this a city in China or Russia? This is Ottawa, capital city of Canada. 100 checkpoints. That's right. And the police, I mean, they're proud of it. I'll come to that in just a second. Here, those two people you saw arrested in the opening montage, Christopher Barber, 46, and Tamara Leach, she's 49. These are two that are supposedly responsible for some of the organizing of these protests, the Freedom Convoy. And neither of them resisted arrest. They're in jail now, as are 13 others. If we're to go by the tweets of the Ottawa Police Department bragging about how many they're arresting. But these two in particular, Mr. Barber, he was arrested Thursday night, charged with counseling to commit the offense of mischief. Wow. He's guilty of mischief. Counseling to commit the offense of disobeying a court order and counseling to commit the offense of obstructing police. Same type of charge for Tamara. She's also guilty of mischief. So they're in jail now on these ridiculous charges. Not unlike so many of the ones in jail for January 6th. No bail for them. Just rot away in jail. You're guilty of insurrection, or I guess the word of choice for Canada is occupation. The protesters occupied the city. And now city officials, Justin Trudeau, I mean, they're tired of it. So they've got to put up all these checkpoints, make sure no others show up, and then begin the process of moving out trucks, I guess, arresting people right and left. Listen to the interim police chief. The other one stepped down earlier this week, and it looks a little fishy, whatever the circumstances are with respect to that. But there's an interim police chief, Steve Bell is his name, and listen to him talk about the crackdown that they had planned for this weekend. Clip two.
We are prepared to employ lawful techniques to remove the unlawful protesters from our streets. In furtherance of our efforts to bring our city back to a state of normalcy, we've introduced a secured area. The secured area includes almost 100 checkpoints that will have police presence to ensure that those seeking entry to that secure area for an unlawful reason, such as joining a protest, cannot enter the downtown core. We absolutely are committed to end this unlawful demonstration. We have the plan, we have the commitment, we have the resources, and we have the amazing partnership of all policing partners to make sure that this unlawful demonstration comes to an end. It's time to go. Your time in our city has come to an end and you must leave. I can tell you it will be a very different picture in the downtown core this weekend than it has been from the previous 3 weekends.
Wow, so he's ready to follow through on Comrade Trudeau's orders. Got to crack down on these protesters. It's unlawful for them to protest now in Canada. This is not a parliamentary democracy anymore. This is a tyrant ruling by decree. It is unlawful. He said it twice. That's the police chief. He said it twice for Canadians to be protesting in the capital city. That is now unlawful. This is where we are in Canada. And all day yesterday, they suspended the duties today in Parliament. But all day yesterday, they're there debating it. And so much weakness on display. No one that has the courage to challenge the fact that civil liberties have been suspended by one man in Canada. It shows just how bitter the affliction is, as 2 Kings 14 says. Only God is going to be able to intervene here. Only God can turn the tables here, whether it's in Canada or the United States. Bitter affliction indeed. Listen to this same police chief as he... Well, even listen to the question that the reporter asks. It is unbelievable what's happening here. This is clip 3.
There's still lots of people just walking on Wellington Street and all that are supporting. So what, and they're probably going to continue. What are you saying to these people if they don't want to leave either?
Do not come to our downtown core. We are tired of what's occurring there. We're sick of what's happening in our streets. So leave our area. We will continue with that message this weekend, but you're seeing an increased enforcement presence, and we won't be allowing people to come down for the unlawful activity of engaging in demonstrations.
He's just sick and tired. How many people were sick and tired of seeing their city go up in flames back in 2020? And then to watch law. When Minneapolis went up in flames, they also burned down one of the police stations. Remember that? When the cities were being destroyed, the police were running for cover. And anyone that dared stand up to the protesters, if you want to even call them that, they were rioters. Any police officer that stood up to the rioters, why, the media would show up in a half a second to shout him down, to capture video, to carefully frame it, to make sure that you knew it was police brutality all the way. And now, again, just like with January 6th, the police can do no wrong. The police are to be worshipped. Nobody, it's the same, it's almost the same storyline playing out just a year later. Nobody in that protest on January 6th had a gun. Nobody had a firearm. Nobody fired a gun except for that police officer, the black police officer that shot Ashley Babbitt. And of course, they were firing off a lot of other things at the crowd as well, trying to incite the crowd to violence. How much longer before this happens in Canada, in Ottawa? All of these heavily armed police officers coming in, and there's families there. There's children. Yes, they're protesting. Yes, they've clogged the city streets. But last time I checked, that was supposed to be, as this woman said in the opening montage, enshrined in the rights of Canadian citizens. The right to speak out. The right to protest. The right to demonstrate. And now he says, this police chief, we're tired of it. We're just tired of it. So don't you come to our city. We've got emergency powers here now. We've got wartime powers. So we can lower the boom. We can crack down. And they're doing exactly that. Well, as I say, it may be by the time this is over that Trudeau and his authoritarian rule is boxed into a corner. You have to imagine that the opposition, certainly the public resentment and anger, it must be growing. And people even that are more moderate in their political views, they have to be viewing this shocked at what's playing out in Canada, at what's playing out in Ottawa, especially after what we saw 18, 19 months ago. Imagine if Mayor Fry of Minneapolis came out with the police chief and said, hey, Black Lives Matter, hey, Antifa, we're sick and tired of this. So we're going to set up 100 checkpoints. We're going to start moving your vehicles. We're going to start arresting people. We're going to keep a ticker on our Twitter page to let the public know how many people have been arrested. Remember that poor woman in Minneapolis? She had no transportation. I think she might have even been disabled in some way. She was certainly an older, elderly woman. She couldn't get around. They burned down Walmart or Target right across the street. And she was there sobbing. How am I going to shop now? Where am I going to get my goods and services? Was she sick and tired of the protests, of the rioting going on? She sure was. And she wasn't alone. But now, you see, this is war. As far as the radical left is concerned, as far as the communist left is concerned, this is war. And the other side must be punished. As I told you earlier this week, I mean, when the communists are in control, they do not tolerate any dissent. You see it in the way they blot people out of social media, and you see it in the way they take to the streets. Law enforcement now. I mean, law enforcement is there. They're there to crack down. They're there to do who knows what else, because they were there on January 6th as well. But in some cases, they were opening doors so that the protesters could walk in and take selfies. And now they're in jail for mischief. Now they're locked away because, well, they incited a riot. Really? Is that what these images show? It's only just beginning. We'll see how that this plays out. Of course, anything could happen. There could be violence. There is a lot of anger, for sure. But these are stunning events that have been transpiring over the past week, not just in Canada, but with these revelations about Hillary Clinton and the spying. And the spying that just went on all right across the board, whether it was the FBI or the CIA or Hillary's campaign. And the propagandists in the media are just there saying, hey, you shouldn't even really look into this. We shouldn't even really be talking about it. I mean, it's kind of complicated. There was this story, by the way, it happened on Monday, this case of Quintez Brown, arrested for attempted murder after he fired shots into the office of a Louisville mayoral candidate. It's a Democrat running for mayor. And this activist, this BLM activist, he drives by the mayor's headquarters or his campaign headquarters, fires off shots into the office. And one of them grazes this mayoral candidate. So the guy's arrested. This is at the Daily Beast. Well, let me just back up. It's from first a Louisville news report. It says Brown, who has been active with Black Lives Matter Louisville and the University of Louisville's Youth Violence Prevention Research Center, spoke to WDRB News in June of 2020 after demonstrating in downtown Louisville daily to voice his frustrations with how black people have been policed throughout the country. So he was right at the forefront of the BLM movement back in the summer of 2020. Over at the Daily Beast, it says Brown's affiliation with Black Lives Matter and social justice issues led to his being featured on MSNBC in 2018, where he spoke about wanting common sense gun reform. Listen to him, Quintez Brown, with Joy Reid back at that time. This is clip 6.
You're from the home state of the Senate Majority Leader. What do you want him to know?
Well, I want you to know that, you know, we are here and we want common sense gun reform. And if you're not going to give us that, then we're going to get everyone out here to vote and we're going to vote you out of office. So if you want to keep your job, then, you know, give us what humans need. We need common sense gun reform.
He just wants common sense gun reform. On Monday, he took a gun and fired it into this campaign headquarters for this guy running for mayor. Nearly killed him. He was arrested, and then the story gets better. Yeah, but follow along here. On Wednesday, Black Lives Matter bails him out of jail for $100,000. And this guy running for mayor is just beside himself. He's like, what does it take for someone to stay in jail? He nearly killed me. He tried to murder me. He tried to murder me. And now he's out roaming the streets again. But don't worry. If you're worried about safety in your big city, well, be assured, if there's people causing a little bit of mischief, now they're going to be locked up. We'll keep a running track of how many are arrested in Ottawa. Don't you worry. It's for your safety. Do we need much more evidence showing that the communists are in control? Richard Palmer wrote a trumpet brief just last night, if I can fast forward into my notes, wherever the quote was. But he was quoting here from my father's article from last April. Where is this? Here it is. April 2021, my father wrote, "The radicals own education, the news media, entertainment, technology, spy agencies, and now much of the federal government. They've got control of everything." It says they can protect lawless rioters and steal an election at the same time they block your free speech for saying that the election was stolen. This was in the April, the April 2021 trumpet. Tomorrow's news today. Meanwhile, they're rewarding people at the very center of the corruption, like former FBI Deputy Assistant Director Peter Strzok, who was in an adulterous affair, and his wife with high-paying jobs and back pay. It says that's the way things work in the swamp. My father says they have the power and the control. How can you win against that? How can you win if they rig an election itself? You can't win. The only way for the tables to turn here is for God's miraculous intervention, because the affliction is so, so bitter. Bitter affliction indeed. 2 Kings 14. Listen now to, just switching back to Canada here for a moment. This is Canada's Deputy Prime Minister, Chrystia Freeland, on, I think this was either yesterday or the day before, clip one.
If your truck is being used in these protests, your corporate accounts will be frozen. The insurance on your vehicle will be suspended. The consequences are real, and they will bite. It is time for you to go home. And let me also be clear that we will have zero tolerance for the establishment of new blockades or occupations. We now have the tools to follow the money. We can see what is happening and what is being planned in real time. And we are absolutely determined that this must end.
Yeah, see, it's time to end, and we've got the tools, she says. We've got the tools to follow the money. Communists, they love them some spying. They love to spy. The surveillance state is perfect. Just follow the money. Freeze the accounts. That's right. Freeze the accounts. Protests are now illegal. These are some of the new rules in Justin Trudeau's dictatorship. You can't protest. You can't even, your insurance can be taken away if you park your car somewhere in Ottawa. They'll destroy your life. No problem. But if it's BLM coming into town to destroy the city, well, Justin Trudeau will go out and join them. He'll kneel with them. We played that clip for you the other day. This woman, by the way, she used to be in the propaganda media here in the United States. They're one and the same. The media, politics, says here at the Globe and Mail, Ian Bremmer, the high-profile global risk consultant who heads the Manhattan-based Eurasia Group and has been friends of Ms. Freeland, that's her name. She's the Deputy Prime Minister, Chrystia Freeland. He's been friends with her since they were both 20-somethings in Kiev, said he thinks it's time for her to advance a Canada doctrine. This is from 2017, by the way. An article in 2017. She needs to advance a Canada doctrine, a new way of thinking about the world. Fareed Zakaria, on whose CNN show she has frequently appeared as a journalist and politician, expressed hope that her background would help her advance for a rules-based global system deterring or responding to acts of aggression. It says here, a former senior official in Barack Obama's administration who got to know her when she was trade minister assessed that she punches way above her weight representing a country of 35 million. The article goes on to talk about her close ties to George Soros. Yes, indeed. Joe Bama, he's right there in the mix. We'll get to that when we come back after the break. But then you've got George Soros. And then you've got these people making these extreme, these radical, extremist statements. And the media there, I guess they don't even bat an eye. We've got the tools. We're coming after you. You park there, your insurance is gone. Your accounts are frozen. Personal, private, corporate, whatever. We'll freeze the money. And they're doing it. They're doing it. It didn't take long, did it? They have fully revealed themselves as communists. These are not communists in sheep clothing. They're out of the closet. If there's one thing that the truckers movement, the Freedom Convoy, has shown, it's certainly revealed their true intentions, and more you're seeing it with the corrupt leadership in the United States as well. Same thing with New Zealand, Australia, the UK. What an attack, as I got into yesterday. You see these two prophecies regarding Jeroboam and Antiochus, and just how that they're factoring into so much of what we're watching, what we're observing. Jesus said to watch and to pray always, that we might be worthy to escape what's coming. We certainly need God's timely intervention and protection. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. You can email the show if you'd like to give us some feedback, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. You people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
Quite a few news outlets have pointed to a conversation that Joe Biden had with Justin Trudeau at the end of last week. And, of course, Trudeau on Monday of this week, he invokes the Emergencies Acts. He invokes this wartime act, basically. Martial law, giving himself total power and control. They can freeze the assets in banks. They don't need an order from a judge. They don't need any kind of court order. They can just steamroll ahead. It says here, Trudeau, this is from Breitbart, Trudeau invoked Emergency Act only after the Biden administration urged Canada to use federal powers. So it was Joe Bama. If you're in Canada and you're wondering how this could happen and happen so fast, Well, again, you come back to Antiochus. You come back to the attack on America. It's an attack on all of the Israelite nations. It says, last Thursday, several Biden administration officials, including Homeland Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas and Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, spoke to their counterparts in Canada as protesters closed the Ambassador Bridge. It says, in the U.S., Democrat-run states and cities reversed many coronavirus restrictions and mandates, partly because of declining case counts, but also out of fear that the Canadian truckers' protest could inspire similar demonstrations. So that's like another side to the story that's not being told loudly enough, is that all across Canada, in one province after another, you're seeing a lot of these restrictions lifted. And then you've got the Biden people, the Joe Obama people, applying pressure on Trudeau because they're concerned. They don't want to lose their control in the deep, dark blue states of the United States. And so they're on the horn. They're on the horn last week telling the Canadian officials, look, you better crack down. This is insurrection. This is occupation. It says still Trudeau held out criticism from the left-wing allies who faulted him for not cracking down on the protests sooner. You got to crack down. They love them some law enforcement, don't they? They love the surveillance, don't they? When they can go after their political opponents. Oh, they're big on law enforcement. Oh, they're big on surveillance, spying. American greatness, it says here, just take a moment to reflect on how much this activism has changed the debate brought to the surface, the fascistic tendencies of the left in Canada and in the United States. It says, Prime Minister Trudeau has invoked draconian emergency powers in Canada, while all across the United States, school boards are digging in, essentially telling parents and taxpayers to pound sand when they object to mask mandates and critical race indoctrination. It says the arrogant, out-of-touch responses to the protests has been illuminating for many, and it has had and will continue to have real-world consequences. A lot of people are waking up to what's happening in Canada, in the United States, in New Zealand, Australia, the UK. Because, as I say, they're not trying to disguise their true intentions at all anymore. My father said in that article from April last year, where have radicals like Barack Obama gotten so much power? He said the answer is in the Bible, which many early Americans believed and which many current Americans are trying to blot out. I mean, we have to turn to Bible prophecy to make sense of all this. How could this be happening? How could this be happening in Ottawa right now? He says, the lies, intimidation, and oppression we see in our own government have a powerful source. The Bible says the father of lies, murders, and wickedness is Satan the devil. He's a literal living spirit being, and Revelation 12:9 contains a prophecy showing that he has actually been cast down and confined to this earth. It says here, this is my father writing, he has great power and he has a burning goal to blot out what God has done and is doing. People who aren't close to God have no chance against Satan, and the vast majority of people are quite far from God. He says finally, but if you turn to God, God will show you exactly what Satan is doing and give you the power to withstand him. This is our only hope. Turning to God. It's not some political movement. The Freedom Convoy is not going to save our nations. I mean, it is, as I just said, it is waking some people up for sure. And I'm sure the crackdown is only going to enlarge the opposition against these draconian measures. It's a shame, isn't it, when you see the leadership, though, so weak in Parliament, same with Congress in the United States. They just surrender to the pressure coming from the communist left. People so quick to surrender, even when they know how evil so many of these movements really and truly are. Just to repeat what my father said there, if you turn to God, God will show you exactly what Satan is doing and give you the power to withstand him. We need power to resist against the devil. We need to turn to God now more than ever. Mr. Armstrong in Mystery of the Ages talks about how that Satan broadcasts. He based these comments on Ephesians 2 and verse 2. How that Satan broadcasts in attitudes, moods, and impulses. And he said that the human spirit within each human being is automatically tuned to Satan's wavelength. I mean, just think about that for a moment. That human spirit that we have, that mind that Satan influences, Satan is the prince of the power of the air, after all. He's just surcharging the air with his attitudes, moods, and impulses. And each human spirit in each human being is automatically tuned into Satan's wavelength. That means we're going to have to be constantly vigilant to turn away from that signal, that satanic signal, and to plug into the mind of Christ, Philippians 2:5. To set our minds on the things above, Colossians 3:1-2. Notice John chapter 13. John chapter 13, this is at the final Passover with Jesus Christ and his disciples. And here is Jesus speaking to his disciples, saying, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." It says in verse 35, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." This is how the world is going to know that you're my disciples. If you love one another, if you love each other, if you love the others in the family of God. It's so unusual. I mean, you think that, well, is that really an identifying sign? It is. I mean, look at the world. Look at the hatred and the division, the strife. It's all over the place. It's in every city. Look at how dangerous our cities are. Look at how many crimes you hear about or read of that happen inside homes, inside families, where you're living with people that you should be closest to, but Satan's cast down. And a lot of times you get into a family or inside of a home and there's hatred and variance. There's all kinds of anger and resentment, hostility toward authority. It says here, this is from the Last Hour book. My father said, "We are being tested and tried to prove the quality of our love. Are we doing everything that we can to move this work forward?" What about the quality of your love? God's love, after all, is obeying his laws. This is how you fulfill the law of God. This is how you live the way of love, by obeying God's laws. God is love, it says in 1 John 4. This is not the kind of love that you hear sung about in popular songs today. That's always just about lust. God's love is unselfish, outflowing concern for the good and welfare of others. God's love makes sacrifices. God's love is service-oriented. God's love flows away from self. Carnal love flows towards self. Self-love. Galatians 6, notice verse 10, it says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Do good unto all men, your Bible says, especially those who are in the household of faith, especially those in the family, especially those in the spiritual family of God. I mean, that's who we ought to be closest to above all. We're brothers and sisters. We're family. We're here to fulfill God's will, to finish the work that God's given his family to do. Verse 1, notice the spirit of this love. It says, "Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." If you see someone overtaken in a fault, help them. Help them. Restore such an one in a spirit of meekness, If you're on more solid ground, if your standing is more sure in the family of God, then help your brother and sister. Anyone that's grown up in a loving family can certainly understand this concept well. If you've got a wayward brother or sister, you want to try to sound the alarm to help them out, to keep them on track, to keep them on the right track. That's the spirit of God's love. It says in verse 2, bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bearing one another's burdens, that's a principle of God's love. It springs from an attitude of, what can I do for you? How can I help you out? I mean, obviously, like I tell the students all the time here at the college, you do have to attend to your own personal have-tos every day, your daily prayers and Bible study. And in the case of college students, they've got to keep up with their studies. And as I often tell them, spend a lot of time at their desk to complete their studies and their reading assignments and their review of class notes, that sort of thing. But as I also tell the students, you don't want to, in going through that training, you don't want to miss the whole point of it, in that we're being trained to give, to serve, to lead, to share. It says in verse 3, for if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. And then verse 10 again, it says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith, especially those who are in the family of God. Do good unto all men. Do good. Live the way of give. Live the way of serve. Service. Live the way of unselfish, outflowing concern. Romans 12 here in verse 3, it says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. See, when you can study Philippians 2 as a companion to this, on where it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. See, the family of God, living this way of love, it really is going to stand out more and more as we draw closer to the return of Jesus Christ. Because there's just, this world is going dark. This world is dying. We went through that this morning in doctrines class, the fact that this world is about to die. But take heart, because God is going to resurrect a new world established by Jesus Christ and the family of God. And finally, we'll have the authority to be able to teach all of mankind God's way of life, to teach them how to live the abundant life. John 10 and verse 10, that's what Jesus came to teach, to show us. Notice 1 John 4, and we'll start in verse 20. 1 John 4 and verse 20. This is the Apostle John writing here. It says, If a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loves not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? I mean, that's these two verses at the end of chapter 4. I mean, very, very corrective. Every time I read them, you just see how much we fall short of God's level of love. And keep in mind, my father talked about the quality of our love in the last hour book. God's evaluating us to see if we have the proper quality, to see if there is purity in our love for one another. God says, look, if you say you love God, but you hate your brother, then you're lying. You're not living the way of love. We're living just like they do in the world. If you love God, you're going to love your brother. God says, for he that loves not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? Look at how easy it is, even when you're in God's church, to come to take for granted or to even at times resent those who you maybe see the most or who you maybe spend time with the most. Sometimes that familiarity breeds contempt. You see someone up close, the idiosyncrasies and whatnot, and it can be annoying at first, irritating, and lead to division, strife, bickering, fighting. It says here in verse 21, "And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also." If you love God, if you say that you love God, if you're practicing the way of love, then it's going to show. It's going to show in your relationships with one another. This is something, again, that we stress often at the college, because here are these young people. There's not that many of them, and they're being trained, and it is intense. It's a pressure cooker. But as I emphasized to them the other day, they need each other. They need encouragement from one another. And in the end, like Jesus said in John 13, the world's going to know. They will know that we are the disciples of Christ, because there is this depth of love in God's family. Notice verse 12. It says, "No man has seen God at any time." It says, "If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us." That's how God's love is perfected in us, when we're loving each other in the family of God. As we approach the spring holy days, they're not that far down the line. Six weeks, I guess it is. We really want to fight. We want to be vigilant to keep the devil out of our families, to keep the devil out of God's church. His influence is so strong. As I said at the start, I mean, he's just bombarding the air, the airwaves, with his attitudes and impulses of vanity and selfishness and violence and hatred and strife. And he wants more than anything for those attitudes to creep into our marriages and our families. And it takes a close relationship with God to keep that influence out. This is Matthew 25. Didn't have these in my notes, so I'll read it in the old-fashioned way, straight out of the Bible. This is Matthew 25, starting in verse 31. Notice what it says here. It says, "When the Son of Man shall come to his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep and the goats." It says, "And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was and hungry," it says, "when I was hungry, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer and say, Lord, when saw we you and hungered and fed you, or thirsty and gave you to drink? When saw we you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when saw we that you were sick and in prison and came unto you?" The righteous are scratching their head, saying, "Well, I don't remember that ever happening. I don't remember helping you the way that you say there." Verse 40, it says, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me." If you did it to others, then Christ counts that as, well, this is how you would have treated me. That's some pretty sobering admonition as well, together with the end of 1 John 4. It continues here. "Then shall he say unto them that are on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels," it says. "For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink." You know where he's going with this. It says, "I was a stranger, and you took me not in, naked, and you clothed me not, sick and in prison, and you visited me not." Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto you? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. We really are here to live the way of give, to learn the way of love, to learn the way of God's love. My father writes, this is from the Last Hour book. He says, how do we show love? How do we show God that we love him? It has a lot to do with human relations. The way you love them is the way you love Christ and the Father. He says, words mean nothing if they're not followed by deeds. If you say you're in the right, that must be reflected in your love for the brethren. Over and again, I mean, I've given lectures before or segments before on how that we're called to be doers and not hearers only. Ezekiel 33, you can read the last few verses there. Of course, James 1, verse 21 and 22. It's not enough to be a hearer of the word. We've got to be doers of God's word. If we say that we have the love of God, if we say that we love God, then it's going to show. It's going to show in the way that we interact with these little ones. It's going to show in the relationships we have with the family members in God's church. Of course, even those outside the church, the Bible says to love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, what an exalted standard that is. To actually care about someone else as much as you care about yourself, that's not natural. That doesn't come normal when we wake up from one day to the next. We wake up thinking about ourselves, and it takes a concerted effort to disconnect from that wavelength that we're automatically tuned into and to plug into the mind of Christ. Who can doubt the sacrificial, unselfish love of Jesus Christ, who gave up everything so that you and I could have a future in the family of God? Jesus Christ set for us a perfect example, an example that we need to follow. If we do, he'll lead us right into God's family, right into the family of God. Look at Matthew 24. Just a couple pages back, and you look at the prophesied condition of our time today, Matthew 24 here in verse 12, it says, and because iniquity or sin shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. You see, with the spread of sin or transgression, when that's all around, there's no love of God. It really is as simple as these two ways of life, as Herbert Armstrong so often taught. There's the way of love or give, and then there's the way of get or hate. If it's not love, then it is hatred. It is contempt. It is violent. But with God's love, well, you're not only fulfilling the law of God, but you're standing out in this very dark world. Your light will shine because it's so very different from what everyone in this world is accustomed to seeing. We really are at a point where, like in Judges 21 and verse 25, it's just every man doing what seems right in his own eyes. It's just a free-for-all. This world needs the kingdom of God desperately. It needs the family of God. It needs a loving family to show it the way, to show it how to live the abundant life and how to prepare for that calling into God's kingdom or family. That's all that we have time for on today's show. We certainly appreciate you joining us. This is Stephen Fleury. You're listening to The Trumpet Daily, and we look forward to broadcasting another week of shows starting on Monday. We'll see you then.